4341 792-66-4862 is our WhatsApp number. brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net is our email address. Dennis Johnson, your host, and John Stout is our technical operator, producer. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. Good afternoon. I have a story to tell.
Okay. I like stories. I do, actually. I like reading them, too.
Yes. I want to talk about the judiciary in Barbados.
Okay.
Yes. I'm involved in some legal matters. And before, I had attorneys dealing with them. And, you know, people complain about the attorneys, and they say the attorneys are deliberately delaying your cases and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. I was of that opinion. I was with that experience. And I told my attorney, give me back my case. I'm going to deal with it. And I did. So here's what the situation is. First of all, you're trying to get a date. And in my specific case, I don't know who is responsible for setting dates for cases, but I would be given a date, and a few days before that date...
Who would give you the date, if you don't mind me asking?
You get it from in the registry.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Right. And a few days before that date, you would hear it's postponed to
another date.
For the date, and so on and so forth. So it's like a whole calendar year went. Mm-hmm. And... you know, I was getting frustrated and complaining to the Attorney General, the Chief Justice, and getting no results. So I decided to apply pressure, as you would say, with them. So I got my dates, and I had some of my cases. The challenge is, it doesn't seem as if either persons or the institution is comfortable with me or a person that they call unrepresented. So that was my challenge. However, I got one of my cases before a judge last year, October it was. We did our oral submissions, as they say, and it was adjourned for January. The judge adjourned it and said I should seek counsel. Advice.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did. But bearing in mind, I had already done all the work, done my written submissions, all of that. But I did meet with the counsel to talk. So when I go back, I can say, I did follow your instructions. When I went
did
back,
they come with you?
No.
Oh, okay. You went back by yourself. Okay.
Yes.
I'm asking that for a reason. Go ahead.
Yeah, of course. Okay, that's fine. So the judge did ask me if I got an attorney. I said, well, no. There was no need to, because everything was done. He didn't have the decision. He said he apologized for not having made the decision and come with that decision. But he refreshed himself on the arguments and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we did a second bout of oral submissions. We adjourned in January for... April the 1st.
Right.
Now, as you would know, the country locked down in March.
Correct.
So, there was no meeting on April the 1st. This is now the end of September. So, we had me waiting for a decision since October. I excused him, or I accepted the apology because, you know, whatever. Human nature.
Did you get in touch with them during the lockdown period?
Sorry?
Did you get in touch with them during the lockdown period?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see the need to because you locked down. But here it is. We're all the way down to September. And I wrote the registrar in May because I knew they were going to be opening back on the 18th, I think it was, they said. So I wrote the week before the 18th, and I asked about my cases. This is not the only one, others. And I got a reply about all the others. those were dealt with. But this one, I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting, and I've written several times pointing out that the Constitution states that these decisions should take 3 months. It's not saying the maximum. I don't know if it's maximum, but 3 months. So 3 months, I'm counting from January to the 1st of April. There was no decision coming because we were on lockdown, but it could have been done. I'll be waiting. So now from May to now, I'm wondering what excuse there is. Right? 3 months has gone so many times and no decision. So what I want to say to you and to other persons is, well, or to talk about this, which I call this lawlessness in the judiciary. Because we come here for justice. You have a dispute outside, you come here. There is the law that says how it should be done within the 3 months, or even how they behave in the chambers. And for persons who've never had to walk this road that I have walked, it is horrible. It's a terrible experience. Like I say, even to try and get a date and to get before a judge, it's horrendous. And it's not only because I'm unrepresented, because lawyers were telling me, oh, you're not going to get further than filing because so. We are attorneys and we have this experience of whatever it is. And I honestly didn't believe them because everybody said, oh, no, they like it because they go to court. Every time they go to court and there's an adjournment, it's money for them. That might be so in some cases, and it may not. I don't know. But I can tell you, we have a system here, this judiciary. And some of the judges, because it's not only this one judge, some of the judges and attorneys have said to me, they have problems with judges, but how do you complain to them or for them? Because then you have to come back before them time and time again for adjudication because this is their career. That's not so with me. So I write attorney general, everybody. And I'm pleading with them. There are these cases here that need a decision. Regardless of what the decision is, I want my decision.
Let me ask you, the reason,
let me move on.
No, the reason why I was listening to you and making the interjections when I did was because I wanted to get to this portion that you're at. You've just said that the lawyers have said to you that their judges...
I use
yeah, okay, yeah, okay, all right, yeah. Your interpretation of what they said was this, okay. And therefore, it may be a reason why they do not complain because they have to go back before the same people they've just accused of, let's say, not being fair. Okay?
Yes.
Right.
Wasting time.
Well, okay.
Or being lazy.
Okay. Not writing judgments within a certain time and things of that nature.
Yes.
I've heard the complaints. Now, if the lawyers who practice law, who go through this system on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis, seem to think they are powerless to do anything about it, to whom do you complain? The same system that makes the lawyers feel powerless because they are lawyers in Parliament.
The system, yes.
They are, the Speaker of the House is a practicing attorney, right?
Is this Mr. Holder?
Yeah, he's a practicing attorney.
Yes.
Okay, so if a practicing attorney says, I feel powerless to complain about the judges, the length of time, or make changes, where do you take your case? You've just taken it to the public here, but where do you go with it? Because if you can't find justice in the courts, where is it? How do we change that? Because we brought in a Chief Justice who was supposedly outside of the regular practice of Barbados, who was supposed to make these changes to what we saw as being a poor system. And it hasn't changed. As someone who has done the legwork yourself, you still don't know if it's the registry that makes the scheduling, if they take instructions, if there is some body, should be the chief. Yeah, should be the Chief Justice who says, if you take it outside of Barbados, Trinidad just have a big row going on too with their Chief Justice and a lady who was made a judge who had several outstanding cases as a magistrate, and soon after being appointed judge, had to resign because her cases, you know, had piled up 70-something odd that she had not done anything on, right? They were just hanging there. So if we have that situation of backlogs, unwritten judgments that take 10 years to be written, and there is no whip, I'm using the term whip on purpose.
Yes.
What do we do?
Earlier.
Right. What do we do?
Well, you know, I don't know that I can answer the question because, like I said,
you're frustrated under the bottleneck.
Yes, and I've written, and because I have written, let's say, use the whip, I was able then to get dates and judges to deal with my other cases.
Right.
So those cases are being dealt with, and some have been dealt with, but this one
stuck.
And yes, and it's let me tell you, it's a pension plan that I'm challenging.
Okay.
For a statutory corporation. So I always know when I'm dealing with issues with a government agency or whatever that I'm going to be up against the Goliath. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that
I must tell you I really do I am tipping my hats, all of them, to you for going up against.
Because I really got pissed so long. Mm-hmm. And that's why I used the term whip.
Yeah.
And it broke my
heart. I thought it was a good one.
Sorry?
I thought it was a good word to use.
Which one? The whip?
Whip, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, I am very, very sensitive to when I'm dealing with my people.
Mm-hmm.
And you try and you try and you try. I mean, this case, when I took it over from the attorney, because he had it since 2015, I took it over in 2018, and it adjourned and adjourned and adjourned. Part of the confusion was when they moved from Bridgetown to Green Hill. That's the right word, Green Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're making all these excuses, and I'm like, you people got to be kidding. You know, so when I write the attorney general, I'm like, what's going on? Somebody
did he respond?
In charge of these people.
Did he respond?
To that,
mm-hmm.
No, they don't. That's the other thing. These people are so discourteous. They don't ever say, well, we received your letter. He replied to the one when I told him that I'm going to sue the state for breaching my constitutional
right,
my civil liberties, for not bringing my results within 3 months or soon after 3 months. He replied to that one.
But and said, you mind sharing what he said? All right. I thought I'd try. Look, ma'am, let me tell you what. I'll tell you why I chuckled there and why I said I really do applaud you for this. I find that when persons try to do what you do, which is make representation on your behalf, read the laws concerning what you want and try to represent yourself, you're told to seek counsel. That's the first response that you get. I had a personal matter that involved parental rights, and I was told, you're not a lawyer, get one. Okay? So I got 5. But I didn't take the advice, I just got 5. And they did it for nothing. They were friends of mine who did law. I find sometimes that's the first step of trying to throw you off of standing up for what you think you can stand up for. And I want to applaud you for doing that. The question is, though, which is why I'm getting back to again, what do you do? Because the matter still hasn't been settled. You still haven't had a conclusion to something that has gone on for far too long. How do the people you represent get justice if you don't think that you are getting a fair shake? And to me, it is one of the things we need to correct urgently, because all else that we talk about, the international business sector, the ease of doing business, the one-year stamp, the encouraging people to set up businesses in Barbados, hinge on a judicial system that gives justice in the shortest possible time, but gives the clients the satisfaction of saying, I have received justice. Because they got this saying that justice delayed is justice denied, but it's just a talking point. And it is unfortunate that you're in that situation and that it seems not to be treated as an urgent matter, because it is way too long that we've been playing this game and nobody's winning. Not you, not your clients, and not the reputation of Barbados. Keep us posted on what's happening with that fight, because I'll be interested in knowing when and where the dam breaks. With the technical operations and production by John Stout, I'm your host, Dennis Johnson. We go till 2. I've been advised that the constitutional time limit for giving a decision is 6 months and not 3 months. This from a justice forwarded to me by 2 of my colleagues. So I'll make the correction for the lady caller just before the news. The time, constitutional time limit for giving decisions, 6 months and not 3 as stated. Also got a message here that said the recourse for the High Court would be to write to Her Excellency the Governor General. The Attorney General has no power over the courts. Which leads me to the emotions I'm trying to suppress. The death of the young Natsella is one that I feel deeply and personally. There are 2 Natsellas in Barbados that I think my children have been familiar with from almost the time they were in restraining car seats to their current ages. And that's the one on the corner there, the pine, that's just lost his life. And the other one is one at the Canewood Road bridge area. 2 gentlemen who, in one case, now was, polite, the best nuts in Barbados, didn't run into traffic, make himself a nuisance, obstruct the free flow of traffic. In fact, he just did what he did to the best that he could do it. To his relatives, his friends, those who left their homes and places to travel to that junction to pay for their nuts, and I know several people who did that. We share your loss. Brastax, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
I want to step back a little bit. The guy that you just spoke about, the Natsella that just lost his life, does the same stretch there when you come up from Seminary School and meet the
Pine Junction.
The Pine Junction, that's the guy?
As far as I know, so yes.
Good. Well, I want to concur your sentiments. And I think a pleasant guy.
Very indeed, sir.
Very pleasant. All right.
Whether you stop to buy or not.
Even I'm familiar with the one at Kenwood too. Right? That particular guy. Pleasant. He had a very nice personality.
Correct.
Anyway, I would like to join you with your sentiments as well to his family. Look, Dennis, I've been holding on for a little while.
Apparently some people have been, yeah.
Yeah, I hope I get the chance to express, right? You usually do anyhow. I want to talk today about by-elections, right? I had the chance and the experience to participate in 2 by-elections in St. Thomas. One, when David Simmons and Sir David now and Junior Rock, a young bright spark, faced off after the death of Tom Adams, and then the by-election with actually the guy that going up for presidency today, this weekend, against Cindy Ford.
Cindy Ford. I was there for that one.
George Pilgrim. Right. So I had two of those experiences, and I would say to you, to any young person or any person that is interested in elective politics, by elections is very high energy. And the characters, personalities that play out in by elections, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would sometimes baffle your imagination. But like I said, only this week that the election, the by-election coming up now in St. George should be a good test for both political parties. Because when you look back, at that same St. George constituency, right, that been a even constituency when you're looking at it, give both parties, both major parties, right? And we could only talk about major parties in Barbados in contents of the Labour Party and the Democratic Labour Party, but it gives both major parties a candidate or a free share of the pie when it comes into selection of candidates. Would you agree with that?
I think so, sir. The energies of the total operation is more focused than if you had a general election.
Good, fine.
Or it should be, depending on who's managing the campaign, because that's important.
The point that I'm trying to make, you can't really sit back and say, yes, my horse can come in.
You'll win. Correct.
You can't do that. Because if you remember very well, in 2008, a Calistonian in the name of Colin Spencer ran against the famous and long-standing Glenn Clark and beat Glenn Clark in four boxes, you know. They're getting ready to call the seat in favor of Colin Spencer, you know. You remember that night?
No, I don't, actually. But you're the politician, I'm not.
but Colin Spencer beat Glenn Clark in four boxes.
Yeah, I remember that part, but I don't remember the part about calling it for him, but yeah.
No, they're getting ready to call, to declare the seat, boy.
If you say so, sir.
If
you say, no, you could call me what you want to call me.
No. So, but
you have that privilege, sir.
But this is the underlying thing that happened that I would have firsthand witnessed in the huskings of elections, especially by elections. A different caliphate, a different thing. You know, in a general election, every candidate got to fight for his own take. But in a by election, both forces, right, from the major political parties come to bear on one constituency. And if you see, sometimes you would be in a campaign, a very intense campaign with a team, and you would see the maneuvering to ensure not that your candidate win, you know, to ensure that the other candidate from the other side win.
Really?
I saw that happen firsthand, and I could draw instances in St. Thomas in the first by-election that I participated in, right? David Simmons up against Junior Rock. Junior Rock got David Simmons, but nine for long. Grew up, Barry, you know it good because you're a garrison boy, you know, and coming home, and it looked neck for neck. The leader went out to sea. I sure you remember that.
Sir, I am not going to comment on that.
No, let me
get him a sidebar.
No?
Okay, go ahead.
Let me tell you something. In St. Thomas, the St. George Pilgrim running against two hometown people, George Pilgrim, St. Thomas man, St. Ford, St. Thomas woman, right? Appoint the Democratic Labour Party, appoint Dennis Kelman to head, to manage Pilgrim, George Pilgrim campaign. Next thing you know, Owen Arthur, a political strategist, Tucker Kelly, and sent down to Australia as the campaign manager and left George Hines right. These are things that happen, and a lot of maneuvering go on behind the scenes. So all I want to say though is if anybody is interested in observing any election, the by election is the one to give you a good, clear illustration how politics work on the ground. You will have your word, sir.
Now, I was just going to tell you that particular St. Thomas scenario with young Mr. Rock was an education in by-election politics for me. That's all I was going to say.
Anyhow, Dennis, sir. I sure it would be a good exercise, you know, because you see a lot of players come out and to give support to one or the next. And don't let me fool myself. There only would be two major parties, right, that at the end, when the dust is settled, that have anything to write home about. Thanks very much.
Okay, sir. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Okay, look. All right, with regards to, you know, the thing about representation, man, we could talk about to the end of our lifetime, which I would like very much to say something on, but before that representation thing, I mean, let me talk about these judges about here. These judges and magistrates, because they are the core, they are the epicenter of so much that is wrong in Barbados. At the epicenter, if you go to a judge or before a magistrate, like that lady did, because you know you could talk for yourself, you could talk even better than probably most lawyers can do when it comes to representing yourself, because you understand your problem. You will not be considered an officer of the court. So you'll be frowned upon. And every time opposing counsel raises to say something, you have to say. It's like it is an exercise in contempt. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, it will be adjourned because, you know, this man, like he or this woman, Inga, tried to make no lawyer look foolish in front of a civilian. I mean, as the woman rightly said, these people, these attorneys who represent you, if they represent you, will make a living whether or not the matter is heard, whether or not it get adjourned. They make a living anyway. It's an exercise in futility. And when it was in a short pants, a prime minister who was himself a lawyer with a big mouth, I mean, he shouts so loud apart, used to hear him all the way down Swan Street, said, if you want justice, take the courts of Barbados, and that happened over, well, that happened in Dennis Johnson's time. 56 years ago, if you want to have justice, who the hell can call me at this time?
I know, the person who wants you to put on the phone, I guess.
Overseas, man, let's along.
Well, that's foreign exchange you're trying to hear, so man. A man who backs foreign exchange? I thought that was foreign exchange you were getting. Go ahead. Go ahead, man.
The harsh reality is, if the Attorney General has no power over these people, and you bring in a guy from overseas who, you know, can make no headway with these people. You know, I watched Judge Judy a couple of times, and about four or five others on television. And they deal with simple matters that really and truly occupy judges in Barbados for years. Simple matters. Things like somebody owes somebody, you know what they call small claims court.
Yeah, small claims court.
Or marriage court, them kind of things. Marriage court. And in half an hour, this judge is looking at one person. What you got to say? What evidence you got? You got anybody to justify what you said? What you got to say? You shut up. I ain't want to listen to you no more. I want to hear what you got to say. And then the other person, my man, and you know, in half an hour, the person goes away, comes back, and finds and makes a decision. And I tell you, I mean, I have watched a couple of them. I mean, and within the first 5 minutes, I didn't know how this thing going, one way or the other. And even though you get a surprise thing coming up at the end of the day, that judge always makes a decision within half of an hour. Of course, both people who participate sign some document to say that they will abide by this thing. You know, they can't go and, you know, challenge it again in court. That's all signed on to. But the point is, a decision is made. And to my mind, the one qualification that is required of any judge or man, even if you're wrong, you'll go to another level, which is three judges now, I think. And then it goes to five judges. And if you get wrong, proven to be wrong in two or three times, make it your mind to left your job or go and work somewhere else because you're not the right person for the job. Yeah, a judge has to read a lot. That's all they can do. They can read, read. Let me tell you, I sat before a couple of them. I know a lot of them. We went to school together. But they can read. You'd be surprised at the volume of words that they can incorporate within a very short period of time because they got these cases, caseloads. But can they understand? And the point is, are they prepared to make up their minds and say, this is dead. I am not. You know, I could talk about this case, which I find most ridiculous. I saw a man, the man that killed, apparently was accused of killing, found guilty of killing six people by a fire. And they followed that case. And they said, this man is like, the logic, the guy who was defending himself came up with the most astounding
reason, explanation.
To explain the situation. I mean, it's as if it was a movie acting out. The man was so, I don't think there's a lawyer in Barbados who could have represented him better. Not one.
As you say, he knew his case. As you say, he knew his case.
But he knew exactly what was happening, and the way he phrased everything, it was not like he come from some back alley street. And I mean, I'm not saying that what took place was good, not by any means.
No.
Of course
correct.
Not. I'm just talking
it's
about
his defense. He presented. Yes.
And to my mind, it was bang on. But you know, the man still got first degree.
Well, yeah.
He still got first degree, and I'm saying that you know had that been presented even to a lesser level of effectiveness with by a lawyer. You know, wait for another 25 years before it's heard again a second time. And to my mind, that demonstrated beyond any reasonable doubt the shortcoming that is the courts of Barbados. I mean, so ineffectual, so extraordinarily cost-effective. Or in-cost-effective, what's the word? Non-cost-effective. You know, I don't use the inefficient word because that doesn't make any sense in this particular paradigm. But it's un-cost. You're going to pay a lot for too little. And talking about it on the radio station, I know it's only a matter of venting because nothing will happen. And it doesn't matter. We got lawyers in government from the time I was born. From the back of the time of Dennis Johnson, there's lawyers running about here. And nothing has happened at this very fundamental, this very rudimentary.
You know, one of these days, I will take out a copyright on my name and get some money from you for the frequency with which you use it, right?
Your name, it rings, it rolls off the tongue so nicely.
I don't know why. One of these days, the lady in your life will call you Dennis Johnson, and then you'll come for me. Listen, let me say this to you, two things. One, you made a comment earlier, and I made note of it here. To point it out to you. I see how television has influenced our thinking, that we think that TV judges work. America thought that TV president would work too, and now they regret it. Let me say this to you. The unfortunate thing for us, and I'm using us here in general, is that too many people seem to have lost faith in our judicial system and our practice of law. And I do not understand why those responsible for its practice, those who understand how important it is to the regulation of our daily lives, do not try to fix it. I see the new president or whatever is the lady's correct title of the Bar Association saying, oh, we have a few bad apples and, you know, you've got 100,000 lawyers in Barbados and it's only two giving us a problem. We said the same thing about ZR drivers. That the only two of them giving us problems, the rest of them are good guys. It spoils the reputation of the entire apparatus. And while transport is crucial, the administration of justice is way beyond that. And I agree with you. Make a decision. My uncle was a magistrate. He was an acting puny judge at times. He did all sorts of other tribunals. And a wash pan of law books. I could show you. A whole wall full of law books, and used to sit down and extract this piece from this, and that piece from that, and that from piece from the other, and arrive at a decision. Sometimes he gave a dissenting judgment, and then came home and cried all over the law books that, you know, some attorney general didn't like him, some judge can spite him because of this, and I heard those comments. But here is the problem. The problem is, when you have a system that has become so bogged down, that one person has to write 10 or 12 judgments, one person has to take notes by pen and paper, and this file can't be found, and that person claimed that they were beaten to get a confession, the system has failed itself, so that those who supposedly administer it seem to be wringing their hands and saying, well, we can't do nothing about it. And that's what's frustrating to the lady who called, to you, and to me who's sitting at the side looking at this. Because you I know the history of this.
I would like to understand that it would be acceptable to people if the Pilots Association, let me say of LIAC, were to come to the people, the public, and says, it's only one or two bad people involved.
That crash in the plane.
That crash in the plane. I mean, we only got one person. We know he's a bad apple. He could still fly, but LIAC don't fly, no. He could still fly Caribbean areas. Pilots can't do that. You think people stop flying because there's no room for not even one bad apple. You go up in the airplane, you know, 2% of them bad. you know, like the police in the United States, we got bad apples. You know, we only about 20% of them are racist. But we can live with that kind. We even one person who are in the Pilots Association can make that claim. Give me a break. It is
not,
possible.
Not at all, boss. Not at all, boss. Because I know one. I know one single pilot. One. That a member of parliament in Trinidad stood up and waved a manila folder around and say he was a what? An alcoholic, and the whole of BB went on strike.
Okay.
Air hostess, pilot, ground handling crew, my man, everybody, tout mundo bagay, all and sundry. Say,
that,
oh yeah,
that would be enough to shut that down.
Alcoholic? All right, well, go fly with somebody else then. So that's when your reputation is at stake.
Well, and that's your name. Never matter. When you're in the air, you know, everything has to work perfectly.
Of course.
If you've got one engineer who works on aircraft who is doubtful, I'm not going into on the airline. I'm very sorry. Yeah. The same should most certainly be true
about
for
the
judges first.
I agree.
And the police second.
I agree on that too.
I really don't care about the nurses. You can tell me, look, we have had people in Barbados from the medical community, not nurses, no. Doctors who have been brought up. You know, for doing things, there was a case where scissors got stuck up inside of a woman. And you can't find this man, you know, he gone, choo! And that got quiet down because you can't make surgeons look bad in Barbados, man, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we could talk about them there too if you want. But I could probably swallow having a surgeon or two in about 100. No, I can't swallow that.
You can't, buddy.
I can't swallow that.
You
because
can't.
When under...
Well, exactly. The man with the knife had better know what he's doing.
No, I can't.
Thank you. Look, no. But no, seriously, to get back on track with what you were saying. I know you don't agree with me often, but did you not agree with my point that the matter of handling business in Barbados, the ease of doing business, registration of business, all the things that require some kind of legal input, some type of judicial cog in the wheel has to be working perfectly if we got to take this country out of the way going? From registering your trademark to getting issues of, you know, between parties scheduled and taken care of in a quick manner. Isn't it not essential to the growth that we keep talking about?
There are so many areas that lawyers get involved in your life that you have no choice but to deal with them that are no longer necessary.
Well,
I mean, let's face it, accountants could very well be the ones who could register companies too. They got secretaries, people who are just...
And selling you my land or my house, right?
Selling and borrowing money from a bank and all the forms, all the contracts that could possibly be thought up, already been put in black and white, in pre-formatted form, and you still got to go and pay two lawyers. Give me a break! There are so many ways, but
three
you
can some cases.
Find ways to continue to have them employed. And even if they get employed, you know, I talk in bad about them. They can always call back and talk bad about me. I don't get, you know, they're going to be employed by corporate Barbados who will in turn pass their charges on to you as the consumer. So one way or the other, you know, I would rather have to deal with it through the indirect way as opposed to deal with them directly. I mean, that is my personal opinion. And unfortunately, they're the ones who run for office up front and center. Vote for me. Because I can't represent you well at this level where you have to have certain services being done effectively. I will not use the efficient word. I'm sorry, it's inappropriate. And cost effectively. But I can represent you at a national level because I can make Barbados better. Give me a break! It doesn't work for me, but that's one thing. Let me move on to quickly. The other one, because I've been on for a very long time. Mm-hmm. The other one has to do with representation.
Yeah.
No, I have always... You think about this part of the world. All representatives have always... I've had like Liz Thompson. I mean, Liz is somebody, the startup man, talk bad, talk low. I got fired too from cabinet, yeah. And she was brought back in eventually. I mean, Liz could represent me. Mm-hmm. If it was, I had, you know, represent. She was representing me on my interests, for my interests, because being part of a constituency is not an interest; it's just a location. But you vote for the people, you know, that you figure, well, they could talk big and they talk bad, and you could probably get them to say something on your behalf, which is probably once or two seconds in the entire 5 year. You know, we had Liz, and Liz got for a comeback, and then Liz lost to another guy who was a bit of a maverick. I can't imagine the other guy who if Liz Thompson was in the same province that Norbert Innes is in, I would be shouting just as bad. I'd be shouting on her behalf the same way. If my present representative, who got big, she talks very nicely too, but unlike Liz or Donville, she's not a maverick type. She will keep her head low. She will do what she has to do. She will pass on information. A very pleasant human being. But if she was in trouble too, like Donville, I'll be shouting off the top. They will get more representation from me than I will ever get out of them. They are only there because of geographic positioning. That's correct, right? Mm-hmm. You vote for them from geography. And not because they are actually involved with culture or involved with small business or involved with, anything like, you know, that you would probably be, you know, part of. Mm-hmm. And that's where the essence of the problem is. When they get to wherever they want to be when it comes to politics, their party always comes first. And the party is an interest. Now, the interest of the party, they may not benefit from particularly, because normally those benefits go to the guys who are on the top, the hierarchy, you know, which is the problem with the last administration, because a small few made the most out of the party interest, and the rest had to find a way to break for themselves. But, you know, that's the way it works with these parties. The party interest is an interest. Even Sir Hilary Beckles, who is a Dem, I don't know how these men get involved at this level, but he says party first is no longer relevant. But party first will always be relevant. That is what the business of the political party is. So when you have people representing trade unions and stuff, they don't get to go to become a party thing, get a back seat because they are trade unionists. They get there because they are a member of a party. And the party's interest will always go above anything, trade union, cultural industries, and the party will now decide who will represent you in these particular interests, or hopefully you can have a representative that will speak on your behalf to these particular individuals.
But I disagree with that, you know.
With what? What they said or the process itself?
No, that they take party before they take their... There have been union leaders in Barbados who have sided with the union as opposed to the party they represented. I can think of two off the top of my head.
When did that happen?
In Barbados,
back in the 70s.
In Barbados, sir. So yeah, Roy Trotman led a march against Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford. He was a member of Sir Lloyd's fold when he did it. You remember the Grand Old Duke of Law? Right. And the gentleman who is one of our national heroes, Frank Walcott, Sir Frank Walcott, brokering Sir Barrow over issues.
Well, yeah, but you can discuss stuff like that. And back in those days, things were still more black and white. But no,
which is why I'm saying that, and this is why I kept saying about the current general secretary, we'll have to wait and see whether she breaks for the party or whether she breaks for the union, and then the union delegates will decide what to do with the general secretary, or the constituents will decide what to do with their representative. So anybody who steps into those shoes have to have a lot of guts to do it. Because you really can't serve two masters. It's difficult to do. It's like if I worked here at CBC at the same time, I'd be in bare trouble.